We were talking about how we mispronounce words sometimes or get the wrong word in the right place or the right word in the wrong place. Now, we were talking about the president's speech a little bit. Somehow we got down this road. Lots of texts came in. John, how about jewelry versus jewelry? Yeah, it's jewelry, I think.
Jewelry.
But you'll hear people say J-O-O-L, jewelry, and it's not that, I don't think. John, one time a pastor at our church said erection instead of resurrection on Easter morning.
Mm.
John, I'm a realtor, and you are correct, it's realtor. John, I think George W. Bush made, George H.W. Bush made up the word irregardless. Irregardless is not a word. It means everything you think regardless means. If you say irregardless, I'm not going to bust you on it. Steve said don't correct people, just use it correctly.
One of my favorites was in the state legislature, you know, they're being sworn in today, and this is back in the 80s, maybe early 90s, and they had a guy introducing a bill, and it was the bill to vote on to create a state organism, and he said HB 152 to create a state orgasm.
Oh, no.
It was passed.
Did they? I was just going to say, if they could pass a bill to do that, I'm in. I'm on board.
Well, I feel like people actually started listening then.
Wait, honey, what did he just say? What is that? We get what? 630, it's pronounced poinsettia. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune, just strolled into our studio. We're talking about words and phrases we get right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Point S. How do you do the red flowers during the holidays?
I always say poinsettia.
Poinsettia. It's poinsettia, says a texter.
Poinsettia?
What do you call that orangish ice cream that you get after dinner sometimes?
Sorbet, you mean? Gelato?
Sherbet?
Sherbet.
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 Sherbet is like Chicago.
Well,
way to say sorbet.
Actually, it's everywhere.
It's not sherbet.
Sister-in-law lived in North Carolina, and she said sherbet every time I heard her.
Did you cringe?
Quietly.
Yeah, you don't want to show.
I didn't say anything. Not going to.
Somebody called
start
in,
a family incident.
So, you know, I said if something doesn't last very long, it's short, LIVED.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always said short-lived. Yeah. I looked it up. It's short-lived.
I'm never saying that.
That's exactly what. And somebody said, where did you get this, John? And I'm just telling you, I have a book at home, and I grabbed it the other day for something to read. And I happened to open up to that page. But the book that I have, if you are interested in, is this. You're Saying It Wrong. That's the title of the book. You're Saying It Wrong. A pronunciation guide to the 150 most commonly mispronounced words and their tangled histories of misuse.
I've got one.
Okay.
Your strong point. Something that is one of your strong points, and it's spelled F-O-R-T-E, the same way a former bear.
I say
bear.
Forte.
Yeah, it's fort.
No, it's not.
It is.
I have one for you, Phil Vitale.
Okay, it refers to the part of the blade of a sword that's closest to the hilt. It's called the fort, and it's the strongest part.
Use it in a sentence.
I would never use it in a sentence.
That's what I was going to say.
But mispronouncing words is hardly my fort.
Go ahead, Violetta.
The restaurant that's on the corner of, actually, I don't know the corner, on LaSalle, it's Fogo de
Chão.
Yeah, it's Chão.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
and everyone
ciao.
Yeah, everybody says that. It's but we have a copy here, so when I read the commercial I say it Foco de Chão and everyone's like, "You're saying it wrong." I'm like, "Well
it's Portuguese. Nobody around here knows Portuguese."
Okay, but in those cases, I would say defer to the owner. He's paying for the freight, so you
right.
call it Smith.
I know,
if you
but
want.
Then everybody listening
I know, they don't think you're getting it right. But so how do you pronounce it?
Foco de Chão.
Chão.
How do you spell it?
It doesn't matter. S-H-A-O.
S-H-A-O.
C.
Are you putting an M at the end of that? Chom?
Kind of like an N without committing to the N. You know,
Chom.
Just kind of Chom. Yeah, like that.
Fogo de Chão.
Yeah, it's Portuguese. Nobody knows.
I say
and
Fogo
I
de
didn't
Chão.
Know till they told me. And you know that new fancy restaurant that, with the big entertainment complex, T-A-O?
Tao.
Tao.
They even say a Tao, but it's Chinese. It should be Dao.
Oh, Dao. Right.
It should be Dao. But I talked to the owner, and he said, well, when I opened in New York 20 years ago, nobody was going to get that if I spelled it T and pronounced it D. So I just went with Tao. So there's a concept, a restaurant concept, that was deliberately mispronounced from the get-go.
You know, if people walk in with money,
mm-hmm.
I think then it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, the most, you don't mispronounce cha-ching.
It's all green.
I was looking for a line like that. That's it. Oh, and by the way, earlier we were talking about Jimmy Carter mispronouncing nuclear or nuclear. He said nuclear. And I think George Bush said nuclear.
G-Dub did, yeah.
But I said it's a two-syllable word, nuclear. But some of you have texted me to say, no, John, it's three syllables. It's nuclear. Nuclear. Nuclear.
Yeah, but I can only say it now by thinking about the way you said it.
I think it's two syllables.
See, all of these people are people I don't want to go to a restaurant with.
Well, my wife was born and raised in the Northwest Side, and she has words like R-U-I-N-E-D, as in something irretrievably lost.
Ruined.
Right, one word. Ruined.
Ruined.
It's ruined.
By the way, we were at Bavette's the other night.
Correctly pronounced, by the way.
For my wife's birthday, and we had a really nice time. What a great restaurant.
Nice place.
Not inexpensive, but a nice place.
You know my favorite part about it? It's kind of a Sinatra-free zone, which among steakhouses is, instead they're playing nice, subtle jazz music instead of the same Rat Pack, you know, like, well, it's not all Sinatra. Sometimes we throw in some Dean Martin to keep you on your toes. You know, everybody's got the same soundtrack in steakhouses, and they're a nice breath of fresh air.
It's a French-themed steakhouse. Would you say that?
Sort of. A bavette is a particular cut of beef.
Yeah.
And so that's where it comes from. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's what happened to us. So nice cocktails, nice wine, nice restaurant, good times. In fact, we had to make our reservations like 8 weeks out.
Yeah.
Welcome to Bavette's. Shortly after we got our drinks, the waitress came over with a glass of wine and she said, this is for you. We are a BYO restaurant as well. You can bring your own wine if you want.
Did not know that.
And we have a tradition here that when you bring your own wine, we pour a glass from your bottle and randomly give it to someone else.
Huh.
So we got a glass of wine delivered to our table. Turns out it was the booth next to us, and we said thank you very much, and it was a delicious wine.
Good.
What a nice little tradition.
Right. Sounds like the beginning of a Hitchcock movie.
And then someone died.
Right. And we had to figure out where the wine came from.
Here's my one observation, though, about Bavette's. So spend your money wisely. You'll enjoy it there. But it's too dark.
Is it?
I don't know if the restaurant owners or managers ever do this. Go into the restaurant, Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune, and if a lot of people are holding the candles up or their phone flashlights to read the menu, don't you have a problem?
Yeah. You got too many 60-year-olds in there, like me.
Totally. I mean, that is the signal that it sort of sends.
Right, right. I remember back in the 70s when dark rooms were all in vogue and waiters routinely had little pencil flashlights.
Really?
So they could shine them on. I said, here's an idea. See all those bulbs you have up there and that little dial? Just dial it up a little bit.
And I'm sure they want the ambient light. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the women at my table, Brenda and Nikki, and maybe Grant and Griffin for that matter, we were all there. Maybe they all like the softer hue. Everybody looks better in dark lighting, right? But here's what I would do. You know, at an airplane overhead, you have that little light? It's a perfect spot.
Yes, it is.
Stick some of those bad boys up there and figure out how they shine where people will hold their menus. It doesn't kill the seating, but it just is a spot of light on the table, or a few spots of light.
Right, because my phone's too bright.
You look so...
I turn on my phone flashlight in a restaurant, it's like I've cracked open the Ark of the Covenant. You know, just have this don't look into the light!
It's like that scene from Pulp Fiction when they open up the suitcase and there's this golden glow. Mm-hmm. What's in there? What was in there, by the way, Phil? Did you know the scene I'm talking about?
I know the scene you're talking about.
What was in there? Was it God? Was it a man's soul? I don't think it was money. There was something in there.
I can't remember.
Yeah, but we never saw it, and it glowed in a way that drugs wouldn't. I think it was symbolic. I just don't know what it was.
I see.
It was probably made of the same stuff that the wall is in 2001, but we digress.
Okay. It was Uma Thurman's eyeshadow, and that's what...
Your latest review is of a place called Virtue?
Virtue.
Tell me about that.
Virtue is a place that just opened just before Thanksgiving in Hyde Park, which is nice because Hyde Park is not over-endowed with significantly good restaurants.
Yeah.
And the chef used to be the executive chef at MK, which is over by Franklin and Chicago Avenue before they got, landlord dispute. Landlord forget to get some more money from somebody else, so the negotiations fell apart.
Yeah.
He wanted to bring, you know, after cooking all that high-end, contemporary food at MK, he wanted to get back to his roots a little bit. So he started cooking the food that he learned from his mother and grandmother down in the South. So it's not accurate really to call it a soul food. It implies a certain informality in that this restaurant does not necessarily have, but it's definitely a take on some of those ingredients, but as envisioned by a chef who's been cooking at a three-star contemporary restaurant for more than a dozen years.
You say some Southern aficionados will dive into the chicken and andouille gumbo. Boy, does that sound good.
It is good.
Those are two of my favorite words, andouille sausage mm-hmm. and chicken, which I enjoyed, you said, and clamor for hot sauce. Why? Right. Is that a slight? Is that a knock against it? It's not spicy enough?
Right. It's not spicy enough for a lot of Southern people. When they think of gumbo, especially if they're thinking more in terms of New Orleans, they would be, wow, this is kind of on the tame side. My wife, who can't take very much of that at all,
yeah.
I mean, a tablespoon of sriracha is a lifetime supply for her. She was able to eat this gumbo. She was so happy because it wasn't burning her tonsils.
Good, but it may be a little bland.
I'm just fair warning to the people yeah. who come in and they have their own idea of what gumbo is, that he's taking a more refined approach to it.
You said that about the blackened catfish, too. You
yes.
said they should...
They could amp that up and it wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah. I mean, it is a blackened catfish at a place that...
Right. I mean, the blackening spices are there, but I've had blackened catfish where it's at where I'm... My mouth is on fire, and this will not happen at Virtue.
We're talking about Virtue, which is a relatively new restaurant. How long have they
since
been
Thanksgiving?
On? Okay, so about a half a year. You not even that, a few months. You said the don't miss entree is the meaty pork chop accompanied by a baked apple whose hollow is filled with cider braised apples and yams.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've never seen her. I don't even know what that is. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, just think of a baked apple that's been hollowed out.
They put yams
and then
in there.
And they recook the apples from inside and the yams separately and then put them back in that so that your fruits there are just kind of gathered in one apple container and you've got this big, juicy pork chop right next to it.
You also like the boneless beef short rib.
That's terrific.
Placed over cream spinach and buttery crushed potatoes and topped with tiny onion rings. Delivers classic steakhouse flavors for less than $30, huh?
Right, because it's short rib. It's not an expensive cut, but the way he cooks it, all that beefy flavor is there. I'm pretty sure he's using prime, although he won't commit to it because, you know, who knows what will happen to prices. But right now, it's just an amazing cut of meat. And then he adds the potatoes, which is what your baked potato is going to taste like, and he adds the creamed spinach, and then basically you've had a steak dinner.
You also like the brown sugar glazed salmon, the roasted chicken over collard greens with pot liqueur or liquor?
Liquor, if we're going to pronounce it.
Here we go again. Phil Vitalis here. He's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. That's Virtue, a relatively new restaurant in Chicago. You got a question, a comment, an observation? Phil could help. 312-981-7200. This is your turn on WGN. Phil Vitalis, the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. By the way, Phil, I want you to, we've got 2 minutes here, mention on the air what you told me off the air about Virtue. It's a Southern USA-inspired restaurant, but you said there was something about the decor that's intriguing. What is that?
Yeah, well, Eric Williams, the chef and the owner, is very in tune to Southern history, particularly as it applies to African Americans, because he is African American. And among the subtle things he has as decor, hanging from the ceiling, upside down little baskets, and you wonder what those are, and they are baskets that used to be used for gathering tobacco leaves during the tobacco harvest, which was often.
What do they look like?
They're.
They mesh?
Yeah, they're mesh baskets, and he hangs them upside down. It's like a decorative element, but if you think to ask, you realize that's a little harken back to what employment meant for many African Americans once upon a time.
I've never. I don't know that I would put two and two together if
never
I were
would.
There.
I would never. I had to ask him. I said, "What's up with the baskets?"
And it works, though, as a decorative item, but also some resonance in the restaurant
right.
as well.
Something I tell people when they're looking in restaurants or in experiencing a restaurant is that, you know, everything you see, everything you taste is someone's decision. Nothing just happened there. And it's kind of fun to try to wrap your head around what they were thinking and why they did that. And it's not always because his favorite color was blue.
By the way, Jeff had a question or an observation for us. You're on WGN. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Justin, how you doing?
Hey, thank you, Justin. What's up? We're good.
Ex- excellent. No, I just I noticed there was a food critic on, and I just wanted to go ahead and give you a little bit of insight on a place called Provecho Latin Provisions. It's over in Crown Point, Indiana. Awesome place, really good people. Head chef's name is Chris Pappas. Trying to bring some fine dining establishment to the region. So,
and it's Provecho, B-E-C-H-O, Provecho.
P as in Pat, Provecho, P-R-O-V-E-C-H-O, Latin provision.
Ah, like provision, Provecho.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hey, and what's the best item on the menu there?
Oh, my gosh. Like I tell everybody that stops by, everything's on there for a reason. It's all great.
All right. Well, good luck to you guys. Nice of you to call.
Yeah.
Another place for you to visit.
Right, right. Crown Point hasn't had a really fine restaurant out there since Louis Bon Appetit closed many, many years ago. And, wow, surf's up in Crown Point, apparently.
Well, yeah, I appreciate his driving safely and listening and calling into the show. We're out of time. John, by the way, thank you, says this texter. My wife and I went to Bavette's a couple of years ago and loved everything except the darkness. The pork belly is to die for. Yeah, we were all pretty happy with our food choices there.
Assuming it was a pork belly because, you know, it was dark out.
Phil, read him online at chicagotribune.com/dining. He's also in that print edition. They'll drop on your doorstep. Phil Vitale at the Tribune. Thank you, Phil.
My pleasure.